Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, Senator Mastriano. How are you today? Can I call you Doug? Is that okay?
Yes, Don. It's great to be on your show. You can call me anything you want except late to dinner. It's fine.
So, you know, I had look this morning as we think about Philadelphia, and my husband Larry and I have lived in Philadelphia for, you know, decades here. We've raised our kids here. Yes, truthfully, we sent them to, you know, Christian Catholic schools because, like a lot of Philadelphians, you know, we're concerned about the quality of education. So I do want to, you know, talk to you about education and crime in Philadelphia. I know you've worked on both of these issues. But, we look at the number this morning, and it's a sad number that I look at as a city resident, kind of roll through stop signs in the, 4 a.m. hours. I head into work because of the crime rate, record numbers that we see. And for me, it's not just that I'm a suburban reporter who's reporting on this and then go home to the suburbs. I live in the city of Philadelphia. I deal with it every single day, and I understand what that means. And what it means, for example, these articles of impeachment now drawn against our district attorney, Larry Krasner. Can you talk about what that scene was like? I mean, you in Harrisburg, as this is all happening, and your feeling about crime fighting and the answer to solving this in Philadelphia. I know it's nationwide, but especially in Philadelphia.
It's really heartbreaking. You know, yes. My great-grandpa came over from Sicily and lived in South Philly, working on the railroads back about 100 years ago. My wife and I met outside of Philly on the main line in college. And so and my grandma grew up downtown Philly on the maternal side. And it's heartbreaking watching the city that means so much to our country, not just our state, but our nation was birthed there. And to see it collapsing. And, 70 years of Democrat governors and 58 years of Democrat city councils and this is what you got. And every 2, 4, or 6 years, depending on the election cycle, the politicians crawl out of their holes and make these promises to Philadelphians, and things are continuously getting worse. And so, I'm a soldier. I'm not a politician. This is not something I aspire to. We do need serious change and not talk. It's funny because Josh Shapiro has been our AG for 6 years, and so he's got a record on crime that he can't run on. And sadly, most folks in the traditional media won't ask him questions. I mean, that'd be the starting point for anyone that running for governor. Okay, you're the AG. Is crime down? What have you done? And he's done nothing but dither and talk. And the stats better than I do. 1,000 carjackings almost this year, on track for record homicides this year, maybe 600, so 430 some. I can't even.
Almost 2,000 carjackings. 2,000.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, how do you live in that environment? I mean, people just want to live their lives and have their babies be able to go to school without wondering if they're going to make it home or not. And I read that one article, you probably saw it too, that the gravedigger said they're having trouble keeping up on the teenagers are laying to rest.
Yes.
I mean, and fentanyl deaths in Kensington. My wife and I were down there without cameras. I don't do stunts, and my heart was broken over talking to the moms and grandmas on the conditions of raising their kids. And all we get is more lies and empty promises. So, as governor, we're going to become a law and order state. And I do have a very clear plan how we're going to do that.
Well, I'd love to hear it. And go, here's the thing that I, as a so-called, child of media. So I've worked in it breaks my heart. I always say this when I see what's happening with our media today, because as an 8-year-old little girl, I met a role model, somebody in the family who worked for a newspaper. And I thought, wow, I want to be a journalist. And that was something I aspired to be, and then started as a producer, ultimately ended up, you know, at the Fox 29, 10 o'clock news anchor, worked for CBS 3. And for me, to see what's happening, the bias, and often bias by omission, and people just being unfair to a candidate like yourself, State Senator Doug Mastriano here, you know, I cringe at it. No matter what somebody's politics are, it's not right. And so I want to give you that opportunity. You know, people, every time you're on, Doug, I know, for example, when you were on with Dom Giordano and you talked about your military service, and people loved it and said, oh, I didn't know this, I didn't know that. So I do want to hear your plan, but I want to hear more about you as well and what brought you into the military. But let's talk first about your plan. What, as you know, governor of Pennsylvania, what would you want to do and what could you do to make us safer?
Yeah, so when I say I'm going to make us law and order state on day one, what does that mean? You know, there's so much talk and so much rhetoric and so many bumper stickers. And you are a breath of fresh air. I mean, you have experience in the media, and you know what it could be and what it should be. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for this opportunity to lay out some of my vision. And I'm not afraid of hard questions either. I mean, clearly not. But law and order state means, number one, we changed the culture in Harrisburg. Tom Wolf and Josh Shapiro have been associated and affiliated with the defund the police crowd. And let me prove why I say that. And on 4th of June, 2020, when Tom Wolf finally made an appearance after 55 episodes of Where is Wolf, he marched in a parade in Harrisburg, you know, with BLM and Antifa with a Blue Lives Murder sign behind his head. And neither he nor Josh Shapiro announced that. And we see that our law enforcement, they don't feel respected. They're not respected. We saw in Philly what happened last week when a couple of our officers were surrounded by people on ATV and bikes and throwing things at them. I mean, that's not a civilized society there. Mm-hmm. And so law enforcement has to know their governor has their back and is not going to, you know, force them looking over their shoulders. Number two, of course, is funding the police, not defunding the police, as the Shapiro group would have. And we've already begun work on that. One of my bills was rolled into the budget this year to increase state police by 200. That was one of my initiatives. That's just a start, though. And then having the resources and training they need to get the job done. Additionally, working with the General Assembly to have authorization to search special prosecutors in high crime areas of Philly so we deal with the criminals. And then, of course, lastly, is not having a revolving door. You know, Shapiro and Wolf have worked together to release up to 10,000, between 8,000 and 10,000 criminals early. And we've seen statistics show 70% of those early releases result in additional crimes within the next few days against the victims or those that reported them to police. So that revolving door has to end.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about your military service as well. I resent when, and I've said on this program, live and local, I've said it for how long, and Anthony, our executive producer, and Jimmy Kelly, who's our engineer here, can tell you that I've said, what is this where we paint somebody as quote unquote dangerous extreme? If somebody has tangible evidence, bring it forth. And I can't stand when these titles are put out there with a broad brush and there's no evidence of it. And so what I always say is, you know, this is somebody as a retired colonel in the United States Army, combat veteran. Can you talk about what brought you to, first of all, get into the military? What was it that you said, you know what, I want to do this, and then you ended up 30 years in active duty service?
My dad was a Navy man, and you know, early on, we go on little canoes and stuff. I get kind of, you know, motion sick. So I knew I wouldn't join the Navy. And but I was always so excited to see my dad come home from work in uniform. You know, and it was a stark time, though. It was, you know, late 60s, early 70s. And then one day he stopped coming home in uniform. And I asked him, I said, Dad, why? What happened to uniform? I'm a little kid. And he's like, our commander told us we're forbidden to wear uniform off base anymore because of the climate in the nation. We might get attacked, you know, in the Vietnam era. And my heart was broken because of a very patriotic family. But my dad was one of those lost souls that could have been killed in Philly. I mean, he grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I'm just using analysis here. Mm-hmm. He dropped out of school at 17, and he said he was a bum. But my dad used to say that, Doug, I was a bum when I was a kid. And then he got in trouble with the law, and the judge gave him a chance to either go to jail or join the Navy. And the Navy turned him to a lost soul, like we see a lot of these kids in Philadelphia. to one of the hardest working men I ever knew, and one of the most patriotic and family oriented people ever. And that was just because he's given a second chance. And a lot of kids in Philadelphia aren't given a second chance. Now, why did I join the Army? I grew up at the feet of my Uncle Joe Guba, a tough Hungarian Union guy. Mm-hmm. And he was in Patton's Third Army. He was a Sherman tank driver and landed at Normandy, fought across France, and beat back the Nazis in Bastogne during Battle of the Bulge. As they were advancing to try to save our guys trapped in Bastogne, we had an American division's 101st and 10th Armored trapped by the Nazis in the dead of winter in Belgium. His tank was destroyed, and he was the only survivor. And he was a tough old guy. He was blown out of his tank, and he woke up sitting Indian style in a ditch with his intestines floating in front of him. And, you know, I was like, Uncle Joe, what did you do? And he talked like John Wayne. He's like, Doug, you know what I mean? I put my intestines back in my stomach and got patched up and went back to the battle. And I just remember, like, you know, I want to be, you know, like my dad, like my Uncle Joe. And I really believed, you know, in our country, you know, we owed a debt to it. So I determined at about 5 years old I was going to be a soldier, and that's what I did my entire adult life.
Yeah, I mean, your career, as you look through it, and obviously, you know, Afghanistan, so I know it must have been, you know, you served 4 years with NATO, deployed three times to Afghanistan, director of NATO's Joint Intelligence Center in Afghanistan, and leading so many people, what, 80 people? You served from many different nations. You know, talk about what your work in Afghanistan a little bit, if you would, and what maybe did that change you or inspire you as a person?
So, you know, 9/11 happens, and I was actually at one of the advanced training courses for being an advanced military planner at the Air Force School, the School of Advanced Air and Space Sciences. We call it like a Jedi course for military planners. And so we knew after 9/11 that we'd all be swept up in important jobs of planning, you know, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I was selected to be the lead planner on the Army side in Europe on the plan to invade Turkey, invade Iraq through Turkey. Very complex plan. And then got assigned to NATO, and NATO, the mission had shifted. NATO was taking the lead on Afghanistan while America could focus on the mess created in Iraq. And there I deployed with NATO three times for short deployments. And after the second deployment, I was really kind of contemplating my contribution to the mission. And all I had done is planning the demise of a lot of bad guys, or really not making a difference with the Afghan people. So when I deployed the third time with my headquarters, with the multinational mission, we had about 80 soldiers from 18 different countries, very complex environment. I was leading them, very, very, you know, daunting to lead such a diverse group of people. But I determined we're going to try to do something voluntarily to help the people of Afghanistan instead of just, you know, kinetic approaches to life, try to help. And we found an orphanage where we did seven relief missions to help the orphans in the Hindu Kush Mountains. But what a rewarding experience. Your leadership style has to be more interactive than directive, working with NATO. And I think it was that experience in 4 years in a multinational environment helped me to really become what I am today and a better leader. And I think it's prepared me for the governor as well.
Yeah. And that, you know, as you're speaking, and, you know, I've talked to so many people who have known you for many years. It has to be when you enter in public life, and you mentioned family members who fought against the Nazis, and you've worked in the military side by side with a diversity of people. And so to be painted in the media or these ads with lies and words like anti-Semite or racist or extreme, it's got to hurt. I know you have a thick skin, obviously, but it's got to hurt.
Yeah, you know, initially it was really hard to deal with because, you know, in the military environment, especially being an officer in the military, you know, you're supposed to be a leader with honor and integrity, you know, a man or woman of his or her word. And then to be painted in a picture that is just not even sustainable in realism. You know, a colonel in the Army, only 3% of my class, I think, made it. 3 to 7% of my class made it. Three of us made it. And with a top secret access for 30 years, so constantly being vetted and investigated, my background. And, you know, when you're investigated, they're looking for extreme points of view, and you know, if you're a danger to the country or if you could, you know, leak these sensitive secrets that would damage our national defense. And so those things are just materially, demonstrably, you know, false. But you'd have people peddling that information, especially in elements in the media. It's just like, guys, do you have that much disdain or disrespect or a lack of understanding of what it takes to be a colonel in the Army?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in looking at you and your wife, Rebby, you said you met on the main line right just outside Philadelphia. Like you and Rebby, my husband Larry and I, have boys. And I remember the first time that we took our boys to Gettysburg, and our oldest son, Michael's a teenager now, and he said, "Mom, Dad, thank you. These are my people, reenactors." He loves going to the reenactments. And I thought of him and that situation when this whole thing with the Confederate uniform thing came up, because I immediately said, in Pennsylvania especially, oh my goodness, my kids have done this where they've worn, because you have to wear one side or the other, right? And so with reenactment and history education, can you speak to that as far as this being used as somebody who's dressed as a reenactor in that Confederate uniform in the context of the fact that you have, what, 4 PhDs, you're an educator and historian. Can you put that in perspective?
Sure. So just for clarity, 4 masters and 1 PhD.
Oh, sorry.
Somebody asked me if I was going to go for a second doctorate, and it was the hardest thing I did in my life. Like, nope. So, published author, historian of American history from 1860 to today, basically, respected, given hundreds of tours of Gettysburg. It's in my Senate district. I mean, I love the battlefield. I love history. And it just shows you how desperate and how far over the top the left has gone. I mean, using any ridiculous little accusation, we have pictures, of course, in Yankee uniforms, too. I'd be happy to share those if people care. But, the facts don't really matter to the left. I haven't seen the left where they care that the facts are getting in the way of a good story. So they're trying to paint an image of something that's just not so. It's okay to, recognize and remember American history. And it's just part of this cancel culture. So my opponent and I are really, really different. We're 180 degrees opposite, clearly. And this guy personifies, which I think would be okay with him, what happened in Philly yesterday, where you have drag queen story time for six-year-olds. I mean, and boys in the girls' bathroom, and boys dominating female sports, rolling back the clock 50 years on women achievements in athletics under Title IX. This graphic content of stuff in schools that parents are trying to get out of the classroom, that, exposing elementary kids to stuff that would normally have child services visit your house if that was around. And it's complete difference here. I think, as you want to be able to raise your kids the ways you see fit and not have a government come in here and tell you, no, your beliefs are all wrong, and we're going to play, gender pronoun games with your kids and confuse them at 5 and 6 years old.
Yeah, and that brings us to the parental Bill of Rights in Pennsylvania that you, Doug Mastriano, you first introduced this Senate bill, I know. And this is something that I talk to moms who I know, and I just was talking to a mom in Chester County telling me their daughter went in a bathroom, and she's, what, I think 11 or 12, I think her daughter just turned 12. And a little girl who used to be a girl is now a boy who was Michael and now is a girl was in the girl's bathroom. And this little girl, that age group, 11, 12, and self-conscious. So went, after middle school and went home, told mom and dad, oh, remember Michael? Well, Michael is in the bathroom. Michael's a girl now. And she was awkward with it. She was just uncomfortable. And so the parents and call the principal, and the principal says, look, we can't do anything. This is, and I've had callers talk about this, and they're told, well, this is something about Title IX. They're even telling parents and pushing back. So the family that I'm speaking of, that I know on a personal side, they were told, well, if your daughter wants to use the private room up by the, front office, by the principal's office, she can go in there. And the parents said, you're kidding. Like, this is the girls' bathroom. So you're saying that little girls who are uncomfortable with boys going, and so this is happening. This is real. This is not, some people say, oh, they're just saying, no. This is happening. It's happening in Chester. It's happening in Bucks. It's happening in Montgomery County. I'm talking to parents all the time. They come up to me, and they'll whisper sometimes, because conservative women are in the closet. But what would your parental bill of rights, Doug Mastriano, what does that mean for a parent listening? And a lot of these parents, as you know, especially a lot of moms, I know they're not political. They've never been political in their lives, okay? What would this mean, and what do you believe should happen, and what would you do as governor?
Yeah, thank you for that. And we have Josh Shapiro to thank for this. I consider that a safety issue and a science issue. And Josh Shapiro fought really hard in Pennsylvania for the right for boys to go into the girls' bathroom. He fought very hard on that. And when he won in Pennsylvania about a year ago, he filed an amicus brief against the parents and children and girls of Virginia and Florida, also imposing his dangerous, radical view that boys should be allowed in the girls' bathroom. And this time last year in Loudoun County, Virginia, a 15-year-old girl was raped, thanks in part to the legal work of Josh Shapiro. She was raped by a pervert guy hanging out in the girls' bathroom. And the school board in Loudoun County tried to cover it up. And you remember this time last year, the dad found out, confronted the school board, and was hauled out in handcuffs. I mean, in what world is that okay? And so
never.
This is chilling to me. I cannot imagine being a girl in school, have to using the bathroom, and looking around to see if there's any friends that can go in with you, wondering if you're going to be in an awkward situation or dangerous situation. This is just madness instead. And something has really gone wrong with the Democrat Party. So under Mastriano, we're going to restore common sense to the Commonwealth. So on day one of my administration, I have an executive order that will ban boys from going in the girls' bathroom. We're going to follow the science. We're not going to enable things that are just outside of the norm. I mean, that we even have to have this debate,
right?
You know, and as far as gender pronoun games, you know, drag queen story time in school, that all ends on day one. This is, you know, schools, the administration and Josh Shapiro, because he filed the suit to keep our kids in masks last year. He filed to keep business shut down. Every corner I look, you know, he's had the opportunity to stand for the Constitution and parental rights. And every single time he's refused, he stood against the people of the state. And, you know, you think about this here. Our kids are suffering academically massively because of these ridiculous shutdowns. And instead of trying to catch our kids up and give them a proper education on how to think, you know, they're being taught what to think. And in many cases, they're being indoctrinated. Why would a 5 or 6-year-old be exposed to a radical in the classroom, confusing them, oh, what gender do you want today? And don't tell your parents, by the way, that we're talking about this. I had a hearing in Harrisburg 2 weeks ago, and I had moms, mostly from the Southeast, testify to these gender games, graphic porn available in the classrooms that child services would arrest us for. Josh Shapiro filed a dismissal for this lawsuit by one mom, Phoenicia, out of Chester County, to get that stuff out of the classroom. It's not book banning Democrats. It's simple age appropriate. This stuff is disgusting. And if, you know, in the end, my parental rights bill puts the power in your hands and not in the hands of some bureaucrat or somebody who has a radical agenda here to endanger our kids.
Yeah, it's a top issue. And my final question, I thank you, State Senator Doug Mastriano, who's running for governor of Pennsylvania. Final question is talking about the economy. And you have said that Pennsylvania could be a key to turning things around as far as the energy crisis and the economy. Can you talk about that?
Yes. You know, so I have an ambitious plan here, and the plan is achievable. I've watched what Ron DeSantis has done in Florida and how he's led that state through COVID. I watched Glenn Youngkin, you know, the past year. And by the way, both of them were told they would lose this time 4 years ago. Ron DeSantis, I just spoke to him yesterday. He was told he was down 12 points, and there's no way, you know, in heck that he could beat his Democrat opponent. So what really matters is what happens on election day. Get out and vote and you know, take your voice back. But my plan for Pennsylvania is really centered upon economic prosperity on our energy sector. We are blessed with one of the largest natural gas deposits in the Marcellus Shale in the world. And we're told by geologists that we have centuries of energy within the shale there. And also we have fantastic high-grade anthracite coal. We have very high-grade oil. I mean, we are really, really blessed in Pennsylvania. So on day one, I'm going to remove us from the energy carbon tax that Tom Wolf has put us in. You wonder why your energy costs are so high. It's not just the war in Russia. It's also a plan by Tom Wolf that began on the 1st of June to put us in this regional greenhouse gas initiative, which is a carbon tax. On day one, we're out of this, Reggie. On day one, we're going to open up state lands for energy development. On day one, we're going to roll back about 8 years of regulations on our new energy sector. And that's going to drive down prices. And although inflation is largely a federal issue, we see we are in the age of governors, and this governor, Mastriano, will have energy power at, you know, at the disposal of the people. We'll be able to drive down energy costs in our state, inflation, and then you won't have to choose between heating and eating this winter.
Doug Mastriano, thank you so much for just telling us, laying out the issues for us. We appreciate you. Where do people find you?
Thank you, Don. It was an honor to be on with you. Thank you for your work. And so if everyone could go to DougForGov.com, you could sign up to be a volunteer or donate to the campaign. We'd like to have a poll watcher, a trained poll watcher at every polling station. There's 9,000 polling stations. We have a few more to get, so if you'd help us out, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, Doug for Gov. Thank you, Doug Mastriano. Thank you, Senator. Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.